quickly out of the sea night. They moved with a sort of clumsy grace, near weightless, though weighed on by a world of water. With his right-hand head, Zaphod peered up into the black immensities above him, and for a moment his mind sang with a silent roar of horror. He glanced to his left, and was relieved to see that his other head was busy watching the Brockian ultra-cricket broadcasts on the helmet vid without concern. Slightly behind him, to his left, walked the two officials from the Safety and Civil Reassurance Administration. Slightly in front of him, to his right, walked the empty suit, carrying their implements and testing the way for them. They passed the huge rift in the broken-backed Starship billion-year bunker and played their flashlights up into it. Mangled machinery loomed between torn and twisted bulkheads, 2 feet thick. A family of large, transparent eels lived in there now, and seemed to like it. The empty suit preceded them along the length of the ship's gigantic, murky hull, trying the airlocks. The third one it tested ground open uneasily. They crowded inside it, and waited several long minutes while the pump mechanisms dealt with the hideous pressure that the ocean exerted, and slowly replaced it with an equally hideous pressure of air and inert gases. At last the inner door slid open, and they were admitted to a dark outer holding area of the Starship billion-year bunker. Several more high-security Titan O hold doors had to be passed through, each of which the officials opened with a selection of quark keys. Soon they were so deep within the heavy security fields that the ultra-cricket broadcasts were beginning to fade, and Zaphod had to switch to one of the rock video stations, since there was nowhere that they were not able to reach. A final doorway slid open, and they emerged into a large sepulchral space. Zaphod played his flashlight against the opposite wall, and it fell full on a wild-eyed, screaming face. Zaphod screamed a diminished fifth himself, dropped his light and sat heavily on the floor, or rather on a body which had been lying there undisturbed for around 6 months, and which reacted to being sat on by exploding with great violence. Zaphod wondered what to do about all this, and after a brief but hectic internal debate, decided that passing out would be the very thing. He came to a few minutes later, and pretended not to know who he was, where he was, or how he had got there, but was not able to convince anybody. He then pretended that his memory suddenly returned with a rush, and that the shock caused him to pass out again. But he was helped unwillingly to his feet by the empty suit, which he was beginning to take a serious dislike to, and forced to come to terms with his surroundings. They were dimly and fitfully lit, and unpleasant in a number of respects, the most obvious of which was the colourful arrangement of parts of the ship's late lamented navigation officer over the floor, walls, and